But it's the same brutal way they try to kill the democracy movement.
History rewritten in Hong Kong. It's Friday, December 24th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Jessica Stone in Washington. You'll also find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, China exodus to Taiwan, learning the lessons of Afghanistan withdrawal, gifts from the heart at the White House. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Authorities dismantled an iconic statue on the campus of Hong Kong University overnight. It's called the Pillar of Shame and commemorates the events of Tiananmen Square. Artist Jens Gelschut, creator of the Pillar of Shame statue, says he was willing to remove it himself, but never got the chance.
And this, but it's the same brutal way that they try to kill the democracy movement. They put, even I think you can get in jail if we put a candlelight to memory about Tiananmen crackdown in a moment. So the China press or the Hong Kong system is more and more like inside China, maybe more and more in the Xinjiang province. So even even worse in Hong Kong, I think, especially in mainland China now. So I think it's the way they have done that is a symbol of what and how they treat the population of Hong Kong. We will try to probably apply to get the rest of the Pillar of Shame and the container and demand it to go to Denmark. And if there is any damage, well, I'm sure there are, then we will apply for compensation.
Gelschut hopes to bring the sculpture to Denmark and recreate a memorial so that the Tiananmen Square massacre is never forgotten. In recent years, Taiwan has become a popular destination for Hong Kongers fleeing communist rule. The Taipei government says it supports exiles from the former British colony, but the future remains uncertain because Taiwan has no refugee law. VOA's Joyce Huang explains.
51-year-old KC Wong is a contemporary visual artist. He was also a pro-democracy activist in Hong Kong. In the past decade, his protest art has appeared in many anti-government demonstrations. Wong says after China imposed a draconian national security law on the former British colony last July, Hong Kong became shrouded in fear. He checked social media every morning to see if friends had been arrested overnight. After finding himself on a list of cultural undesirables in a pro-Beijing newspaper, Wong accelerated his escape to Taiwan.
I have to leave Hong Kong in order to have an independent voice. Nobody wants to live in a city that constantly provides fear.
Data from Taiwan's National Immigration Agency show that the number of Hong Kongers relocating to Taiwan is on the rise. In 2020, the figure almost doubled from the year before to more than 10,000 people, a record. And in the first 7 months of 2021, more than 5,000 Hong Kongers arrived in Taiwan. Guo Zhizhen, a legislator with Taiwan's ruling Democratic Progressive Party, says there are enough mechanisms in place to help those fleeing Hong Kong on a case-by-case basis. Luo says passing the asylum law would be a national security risk because it would open up the island's borders to passport holders from around the world, including those from China.
When it comes to the people from mainland China, I think it's more complicated and it's more sensitive because it's very likely that there could be spies, pretending to be refugees and wants to come to Taiwan.
But human rights groups said the current policy make it too difficult for Hong Kongers to obtain permanent residency, especially those eligible for work permits. They say without an asylum law, the island's policy toward Hong Kong and China could easily shift, depending on which political party is in power.
The DPP government has shown goodwill towards these Hong Kongers, but will the future government follow suit in lieu of an asylum law? Therefore, we think that a refugee law is important in institutionalizing a permanent asylum framework.
Observers say Taipei lacks a law for refugee and asylum seekers because it is afraid of provoking Beijing.
The law will apply to none but foreigners, yet the idea of listing people from Hong Kong, Macau and China as foreigners will largely offend China. This has become a highly controversial political taboo.
Lin says Taiwan seldom denies entry to asylum seekers unless national security risks are present or the legal ground is weak. Taiwan is moving to relax restrictions for high school students from Hong Kong and Macau seeking to study in Taiwan beginning in September next year, a way to help teenage exiles. Joyce Huang for VOA News, Taipei.
U.S. President Joe Biden has signed the Uyghur Forced Labor Prevention Act into law. The new law bans any American company from using forced labor from Xinjiang in western China. Companies such as Coca-Cola and Nike had previously lobbied against the bill. In a statement, the State Department says it is committed to working with Congress to continue addressing forced labor in Xinjiang and to strengthening international action against this violation of human rights, adding, "This new law gives the U.S. government new tools to prevent goods made with forced labor in Xinjiang from entering United States markets and to further promote accountability for persons and entities responsible for these abuses." China says it will send police advisors and riot gear to the Solomon Islands a day after some foreign peacekeepers began leaving the Pacific nation following deadly protests last month. The unrest, in which dozens of buildings were burnt down after the decision by Prime Minister Manasseh Sogavar to launch relations with China, fueled a dispute between the national government and the most populous province, Malaita. Other domestic issues also stirred the discontent. We invite you to read more on our top story by following our Twitter stream, at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the voanews.com website. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on voanews.com. Trade deals raise Cambodian hopes for a brighter post-pandemic economy. Death toll continues to mount in Myanmar jade mine disaster. Australia records major spike in Omicron variant of COVID-19. China puts city of 13 million in lockdown ahead of Olympics. Southern Afghanistan farming industry crushed by years of war, drought. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. In a year-end press briefing, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken highlighted renewed U.S. alliances abroad. He also addressed foreign policy challenges like Russia's actions near Ukraine and Afghanistan's growing humanitarian crisis. VOA senior diplomatic correspondent Cindy Sain has more.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken faced reporters to look back and forward after a momentous, sometimes tumultuous year. Many questions focus on the ongoing war between Ukraine and Russian-backed separatists, and fears of a new Russian invasion with a massive buildup of Russian troops along the two countries' common border. Blinken again called on Moscow to de-escalate the situation and pull its troops back. He said the U.S. is ready to hold talks with Moscow and all of the stakeholders in the region, likely in January.
We're engaged in diplomacy and deterrence at the same time. These two things go hand in hand. As you know, just to step back for a second, President Biden, when he first met with President Putin in Geneva some months ago, and you were there, said to President Putin that our strong preference is for a more predictable and stable relationship between Russia and the United States. But if Russia continues to engage in reckless or aggressive actions, we will respond, and we'll respond strongly.
Blinken was also asked if he had regrets about the hasty and chaotic U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan after the Taliban took power in Kabul in August. He said there will be plenty of time to reflect, but that President Joe Biden made good on his promise to end the 20-year U.S. war in Afghanistan.
We knew this would be challenging. It was. And there are lessons from the evacuation and relocation that we're learning for the future. But this is also the first time in 20 years that no U.S. troops are spending the holidays in Afghanistan, and we're not sending a third generation of American soldiers to fight and die there.
Blinken said the U.S. is fully aware of the suffering of the Afghan people and is working intensely with allies to get liquidity back into the Afghan economy and money into the pockets of the Afghan people, and not in the hands of the Taliban rulers. Cindy Sain, VOA News.
Two people are dead and two others injured after a powerful explosion ripped through an Indian court building Thursday. Authorities say the explosion appeared to originate near a restroom of the judicial complex in Ludhiana, north of the capital, New Delhi. The blast damaged the walls of the bathroom and shattered glass in other rooms. Punjab State Chief Minister Charanjit Singh Chani said the government was on alert and announced an investigation. Still ahead on VOA Asia, gifts from the heart at the White House. Happening now in Asia. At least three people are now confirmed dead from Wednesday's landslide at a jade mine in northern Myanmar. Rescue workers say the landslide swept dozens of workers into a nearby lake. Landslides are a common occurrence for Myanmar's lucrative but poorly regulated jade mining industry. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. So happy you've decided to join us here on VOA Asia. The White House is lit with holiday cheer for this year's festive season, with First Lady Jill Biden's Christmas decor theme of Gifts from the Heart. VOA's Anita Powell reports from the White House.
For her first Christmas as First Lady, Jill Biden chose Gifts from the Heart as her theme, and she's filled the White House with tributes to those who have inspired her in the past year. Frontline workers who soldiered through the pandemic, service members who gave their lives, and members of her family and those of previous presidents.
For all of our differences, we are united by what really matters. Like points on a star, we come together at the heart. That is what I wanted to reflect in our White House this year. In each room, we tell a story of gifts from the heart. In the East Wing, we see the gift of service with shooting stars representing the frontline workers who brought light to our lives in the darkest days of this pandemic.
This year's decorations echo the theme of the last Christmas of previous First Lady Melania Trump. Trump's final Christmas decorations as First Lady paid tribute to first responders. As usual, the White House pastry team this year spent several weeks putting together a hefty gingerbread display. This year, it includes a school, police, fire, and gas stations, a hospital, a post office, a grocery store, and a warehouse.
It's all made of gingerbread, royal icing, chocolate, some gum paste, too.
So, I promise I'm not going to do this. Could you eat all of this?
You could, technically, but it's meant for display. So, the icing on the outside, when it's exposed to air, becomes very firm, like concrete.
Christmas trees have been a White House fixture for more than a century, but it was First Lady Jacqueline Kennedy who started decorating by theme. The First Lady's efforts haven't always been warmly received. Critics howled over former First Lady Melania Trump's 2018 decorations, which included red Christmas trees, with some calling them more frightening than festive. But the First Lady said that while the world may still be scary, the holidays shouldn't be.
No matter how dark the night, when we turn toward that light, we will never be lost. So thank you for helping us share those gifts from the heart. And happy holidays and Merry Christmas from our family to all of yours. We love you. Thank you.
As usual, the White House went big. More than 100 volunteers festooned 41 Christmas trees with 80,000 lights, 6,000 feet of ribbon, and more than 10,000 ornaments. Anita Powell, VOA News, at the White House.
For a decade, artist Derek Yung has been transforming Hong Kong's beaches into massive works of art. Using a wooden pole and a garden rake, he forms patterns along the sandy shoreline of Sai Kung Beach, an area that has been dubbed Hong Kong's back garden, known for its untouched landscapes. Young only has around 3 hours, though, before the tide hits the shore, erasing his work of art. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao. Our VOA Asia team includes Keith Lane, Chris Cascajo, and Jim Stevenson. I'm Jessica Stone in Washington. Enjoy the day.